Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, we are doing what's referred to halachically as the halachos of ha'ala'a. Ha'ala'a means the rules of putting milk and meat on the same table. The halachos of putting milk and meat on the same table, not only is there a prohibition to eat meat and milk together, and certainly cook and eat meat and milk together, but to even put them on the same table is usur. Why? Because it's a gzeira midrabanan. We're afraid that if people are going to have meat and milk on the same table, so then they're going to come to eat it together. The way the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos says it is that even though we have a rule that we don't make a gzeira to a gzeira, and over here we're saying you can't put the food on the table because you might come to eat it together and then you might come to cook it together and eat together. So that's a very far-fetched chash, because really there would be no iser min haTorah to eat meat and milk together, only if they've been cooked together. But nevertheless, this is all part of one gezeira. In other words, they made the original gezeira and said you can't eat together and you can't put food on the table together. Rambam says that if the gezeira was made at one time, then we don't have a problem of ein gozrin gzeira l'gzeira. It's when a new gzeira is made at a newer time, and the first gzeira that it's trying to protect was already a gzeira, then we don't add another gzeira to a next. Yes?
Didn't we learn out that that achila is not as gzeira, but you can't eat?
Correct.
Because
No. We learned that, we discussed what's the relationship of eating cooked basar b'chalav to the Isra Bishul itself. But I was talking about a case of where they weren't cooked together. You took a munch of cheese, and then you took a munch of meat. I understand what you're bothered by. Okay, so that's our introduction. So in Siman Pei Ches, the Mechaber says as follows, Afilu basar chayev of, even if we have only an Isra Darabanan, in Pei Zayin we had learned that the Isra Daraisa is beef from an animal, and not from a chaya, a wild animal. In other words, a domesticated animal like a cow is nisur d'oraisa, or a chicken that's nisur d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, also aloso ala shulchan, you're not allowed to put it on the shulchan. So this is where the mefarshim gets stuck, isn't it gzera gzera? So that's where I gave the answer already previously. So you're not allowed to put it on the same table, shelo yavol achon liacha, in order that you don't come to eat them together. Ala b'shulchan shesudar alav atavshil, but if you have a table that's a buffet table, muter litein zeh b'tzad zeh. So it's interesting halacha that this prohibition only applies on the table that you're eating. If it's a buffet table, so then in such a case, there the iser does not apply. Why? Because the only chash that we have is the person's going to forget himself. He's going to forget him or herself, and they're going to eat basar b'chalav together, and we're afraid eventually they're going to come to cook it together. A buffet table is not while you're eating. You just go to the buffet, you take it off. And so therefore, here's a kula that many people are not aware of. I always say the more you learn, the more leniencies you learn, as opposed to, you learn every once in a while also what you can't do as well. But a lot of times when you learn, you find things that you might have thought would have been us. Or I would have thought that you can't put milk and meat together on the same buffet table, but that's incorrect. One is allowed to.
I've seen like people put dividers in between meat and milk on the same table.
So we're about to get to that. So the Gemara tells us that we're not allowed to have them on the same table. But we're going to see in Sif Beis that there are exceptions to the rule. So let's jump right in. Says the Mechaber, Hada asal alos al shulchan, this that we say that it's prohibited to put meat and milk together, dafka b'shnei b'nei adam, hamakirim zed zed. It only applies to people who know each other.
What's that mean?
Because when you have people that know each other, so then those people are more likely to share food with each other. Aval achsanoi, but if you have guests, in other words, two people sitting in a hotel, or another example would be at work, in a cafeteria, or in school, where you don't know each other, just somebody sits down across from you. So then, and you're eating milchiks and he's eating fleishiks. Avlach sanoim she'ei makirin says that. But guests that don't recognize each other, mutter, then in such a case, it would be permissible. Why? Because the whole concern is that you're going to take the food. But if it's someone else's food and you don't know, then we're not concerned about it. But if it's your buddy, So then you're going to take, you're more likely to take. Vafilu hamakirim. Now here we're introduced to the shita of the Bali Tosas. The Beis Yosef learns that this is a machlokas between Tosas and the Rambam. And we follow the lenient opinion of Tosas. I'll give the background shortly. Vafilu hamakirim. Even people who know each other, you're still, there is a way that you can eat together. For example, husband and wife, this sometimes happens. The wife is in the mood of milchix, and the husband is in the mood of fleishix. It doesn't usually work the other way around, right? That the wife's in the mood of fleishix and the husband's in the mood of milchix. Right. Okay. I still got the metzias right. Although the world is changing so fast, I don't know. You never know. So, vafila mekirim asu shum heker, where people think they're changing so fast. They're not changing fast. It's... society's gotten a little confused. If they know each other, but they could put down a heker, kigon, for example, shekol echad ochel al mapa shalom. Each person eats on their own mat. Or afilu ochel al mapa achas, or they're eating on one mat. V'nosnim b'neim pas lehekeir, and they put down bread. Bread here, the poskim spell out, is bread that they're not eating from. As a heker, heker is to recognize that it's that there is a separation between the two, then it's going to be mutter. What's behind this discussion, you'll let me, Rabosai, give you a little bit of background. What's behind this discussion is as follows. The Gemara tells us this halacha, that two people that don't know each other can eat next to each other, and two people who do eat know each other cannot eat next to each other. And the Gemara says that they're not allowed to eat ke'ein tfisa achas. And there's a machlokes harishonim, what does it mean, tfisa achas? Some rishonim learn that tfisa achas means one area, that they can't eat, people who know each other can't eat in the same area. If they have, however, are there in different areas, then it would be okay. And the Gemara, this is a Gemara in Kuv Zayin Amabez in Chulin, and Tosas de Bar Maskel Ke'ein makes reference to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun, where the Gemara uses the term Tfisa in the following way. Tfisa means many different things in Shas. Tfisa can mean an area that's grabbed by a particular person. So, or item. For example, the Gemara discusses what happens if you have an area of Avodah Zarah and you find something next to the Avodah Zarah, but you're not sure if it's connected to the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, differentiates whether it's Bitfisa Achas or not in Bitfisa Achas. So there, from the Gemara, it's clear that Tfisa means a particular locale. And the Gemara also says that if there is a Mechitza between this Avodah Zarah and another Avodah Zarah, or this Avodah Zarah and something else, that's called Shtei Tfisas. Tosa says that we see from that Gemara that as long as you put something between the Avodah Zarah and the item, so then they're considered separate things. So too, if the Gemara says that what's usher is to eat tfisa achas, but if you put a heker, so then it's considered shtei tfisos and going to be mutter. So the source for the end of what we learned in Sif Beis is that if you have shtei tfisos, which could be created by a heker, it's going to be mutter. Tosas then gives another explanation of tfisa achas. The other explanation of tfisa achas means they have the same budget. So, for example, you have family members. They all share in the same budget. Sometimes you have roommates that they all share the same budget. Everybody throws in $500 a month that covers rent and food. Let's say they work that way. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but let's say it does work that way. So that would be an example of tfisa achas. So not only families, you could have it amongst friends as well. So when you have tfisa achas, then it's going to be usser. So Taisus points out, according to this understanding, there's no reference to a heker working. So when we assume that the heker works, that's a going according to that understanding that tfisa means what is referred to in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and not in the Gemara in Bava Basra, means people who have the same budget on Kuflan and Zayinoy base. So therefore, we're following the lenient opinion. The Rambam, who doesn't have heker, probably follows the other opinion. But this is how we paskin la halacha, that if you have a heker between the two, that's going to be mutter. So husband and wife, the wife wants to eat, I got it right, milchix, the husband wants to eat fleishix. So then in such a case, then we get into a lot of lemaisa discussion, what exactly is the heker? So what did the halacha say in the Shulchan Aruch? The halacha said that you have a pas. If you have bread between them, that's going to be enough to serve as a heker. The Rama continues, "V'dafka she'ein ochlim min ha'pas ha'munach b'neim." But this would only serve as a heker if that pas, they don't eat from that pas. Avol ochlim imenu lo have a heker. De'blav achi ha'pas ochlim imenu munach al ha'shulchan. Either way, then it wouldn't be normal. Avol nasnu b'neim kli she'shosim imenu. But if they put a jug, a water bottle between them, and in general, it's not normal to have a jug on the shulchan. So here, I infer something about what was common 700 years ago that's not common today. 700 years ago, water was not brought to the table. People didn't drink water during the meal. So therefore, if you bring a jug 700 years ago to the table and you put it in between the two of you, even if you're drinking from it, that's a heker. Why? Because it's not normal to be there. Bread was normal to be on the table if you were eating from it. It wasn't normal to put a loaf of bread and say, we're not eating here. So therefore, we have two hekers. One would work today, one would not. The first heker being the heker of the bread. The second being a jug of water. That would, if we're drinking from it, then it would not serve as a heker. The Kol Shekein continues, there are three lines from the bottom. In the Samosham menorah, if you put a menorah, so once upon a time, the menorah wasn't there on the ceiling. The menorah was on the table. That's how people were able to see what they were eating at night. You know, the world has entirely changed because of electricity. This was already late at night, 600, 700 years ago. Yeah, at 6:30 at night. It was really, really late at night. The description of Talmidei Chachamim being up at night learning is that most people who got up at 5 in the morning, everybody got up at 5 in the morning. So Talmidei Chachamim would stay up. They would be the only ones because there was nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do at night. So, but Talmidei Chachamim had Torah to toil, and so that's what we would stay up. That's what we would stay up doing. So that's the image of the of Talmidei Chachamim learning by candlelight. But for everybody else, what else? They played cards a little bit, and that was it. And then people would go to sleep. So they would get up early in the morning. So a menorah was sitting on the table. You would have a menorah. That serves as a heker. If you take a look at the Darkei Moshe in Sifkat and Beis says that the menorah has a little bit of height. So this is a big discussion in the poskim. Rav Vosner, in his Sefer on Hilchos Nida, discusses that there's another area where we have, where there's a heker between people. And particularly also a husband and wife. We didn't photocopy, I'll just say it out. Rav Vosner describes, it's in the photocopies in the Kollel booklets, if you like. So Rav Vosner describes the following. This might be a halacha that we're learning now with Bachurim. So you haven't yet learned this halacha. So Mirtz Hashem, all of you will get married. And in Mirtz Hashem, you will learn Hilchos Nida. When your wife is a Nida, so then the halacha is that you're not supposed to be with together. She goes to the mikvah after she waits, after her bleeding stops for 7 clean days. She then goes to the mikvah, and then husband and wife could be with each other. Generally, the way it works is husband and wife are not with each other for 12 days out of a month. So the majority, they're able to be with each other. There's a distinct amount of time that they're not with each other. So during that time that they're not allowed to be with each other, we have harchakos. Harchakos are things to make sure that they don't forget themselves. And they're used to being with each other, so something that reminds them. Chazal say that eating at times is a time of closeness. In fact, that's an English term as well. The term is a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So that's why we have halachos about drinking with goyim and eating with goyim, because the Gemara tells us that there was a chashash chasnus of marrying, falling in love with their daughters. So therefore, we don't always eat with goyim. In other words, there are many times that there are many halachos. So too, when it comes to nida, there's a requirement of a heker. So you need to put something down. So Rav Vosner discusses how large does the heker have to be. One of the common hekers that a woman might use is her ring. She tells her husband, she puts down a ring, this is the heker, to remind us that we're not supposed to be intimate. So there, that's a small thing. It's very flat. Or, for that matter, they put down a piece of paper and they say that this is going to be the heker. So that's an interesting question. So if you take a look at the Darkei Moshe and Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, so over there, he says that it needs to have a little bit of height. So Rav Ozner says, maybe the Minhag HaOlam is that when we're more machmir by Hilchos Basar V'Chalav than other things, because when it comes to Hilchos Nida, there, all that one of the couples need is a reminder. Over here, we're afraid that one person is going to take from the other without even realizing it. So then in such a case, it could be that you need a bigger hacker. So that's this discussion in regards to the height. But clearly you need a hacker. Similarly, the Rama continues, V'yu zihirim. They should be careful, shalo lishtos mikli echa, not to drink from one cup. Why? Mishum sha'machal nidbak bikli, because we're afraid that the food is going to get attached into the utensil, and we're afraid that that once it gets attached to the utensil, then the person who's eating fleishiks is going to eat milchik, so therefore the halach is we don't share, even in instances where it's permissible to share, we don't share. Okay, now.
Different mats are fine.
Oh, very good. So let's talk about mats. So, it depends on how you eat. So for example, in the Eisenstein kitchen, the way it works is we have a milchiga table. We have a table that if we eat fleishiks, we put a mat on it. If we don't eat fleishiks, we're eating milchiks, then in such a case, then we don't put a mat down. So that is that's what we do. So then in such a case, in our house, we would be allowed to have, thank you very much, you'd be allowed to have milchiks, somebody eating milchiks on the table, and someone else eating on a mat. Why? Because the mat is going to serve as a hecker. Once we're eating on separate things, that's going to be enough. Now, if somebody else in their house, they always eat on mats. They're a little bit more studious than the Eisensteins. Everybody, you never eat directly, you never put a plate directly on the table. You always put a plate on the mat. So then, in such a case, those people always eat in a mat, so then it's not enough to have two mats, because you always eat in a mat. So in our house, if somebody's eating on a milchik mat, and someone else, we have milchik mats somewhere, but we don't generally use it on the milchik table. So if someone's eating on a milchik mat, the other one a fleishik mat, that's fine. Someone's eating on a fleishik mat, that's also fine, because that serves as a hecker. That's what you don't do. You don't have that unless you have fleishiks. But in a person who, in your house, they only eat on mats, so then in such a case, you would have to do different hackers.
Because they're different.
What's that?
If they're different, it's fine.
No. So I want to say like this. I want to say that if the only time that the Mechaber says that it's a hacker that's going to be okay is if it's not common for them to eat on two different mats. But if they always eat on two different mats, so then in such a case, it would be problematic. What you mean is as follows. If, however, the mat is clearly a milchik mat and the other a fleishik mat, then in some case it's going to be helpful. That would be productive. Now, this actually comes up. The case that the Mechaber is probably talking about is a tablecloth. So you have the two people who are eating on the same tablecloth, that's going to be a problem. But, like you said, if there's a clear milchik mat and a clear fleishik mat, so then in such a case, then the halacha would allow for it. Someone told me, that's actually, have you guys come across this, that milchiks is blue and fleishiks is red? Do you know where that comes from?
I think it's all over America.
It's all over America. You have to go back and listen to my shum from 3 years ago. Because, why? Because then I had a fantastic Talmud Chacham who used to come to the shiurim, who was in his late 60s. He came 3 straight years that we learned together. We learned Shabbos, we learned Nida, we learned Pesach. I think he came for 3 straight years. So when we joked about this, about the blue and the red, he explained that about 50 years ago, they were selling, there was one company, there was only one company, and they sold a certain product. I think it might have been, I don't remember what it was, whether it was sponges or something else. And he said, and the milchik one was blue. It was a product that was, one was milchiks, one was fleishiks. The milchik one was blue and the other one was red, And that's why, because if there was a certain product 50, 60 years ago. In other words, the nafkamina is, I wasn't sure if my great-grandfather, my great-grandmother had this. According to him, it's not, it wasn't something that comes, it was actually just some product that some company decided to sell, one red and one blue, so it'll be clear that won't be milchiks and fleishiks. And that's what he claimed. That's what he claimed. Okay. So either way, so if you have a blue or a red mat, so then in such a case, that would be fine. If you take a look back, in Sif Katan Aleph, so there, Rabbi Kiva Eger, you might not have this photocopied. I'll say it for you. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that you're not allowed. We learned also the halos al shulchan shofel of gvina that you're not allowed to have meat and milk on the same table. So I'd like to introduce you this Rabbi Kiva Eger is tell you a mistake that I realized that I used to make every week at this time. What was the mistake that I would make? I have the first half of the mistake sitting on my desk. You guys know that sometimes if I have to talk to somebody wants to schmooze with me, so I eat in the dining room. Otherwise, I eat in the office. Okay, so I eat in my office. So far we haven't made up with anybody to eat supper with anybody, so I'm going to eat in my office tonight. So what's in my office? So I have a desk, and I usually have... I'm the type of person that I often don't finish my coffee. Because I usually... Okay, so you often have leftover coffee on my desk. Usually, most nights, before I leave, I pour out the coffee. Okay. Why is this detail important? You'll see shortly. I'm not discussing with you my coffee drinking habits. That also is all shtickel Torah, but that's not for now. Anyhow, so...
Clear mug.
Yeah, you have the... Right. Everything has a cheshbon. At least we try to have a cheshbon. So, so it goes like this. So I have the coffee that's sitting on my desk. Now, you know what I did? I used to make a mistake. It never dawned on me. Because I never drank from the coffee. But I would take my supper up. Supper is fleishiks. And I would eat my supper with the coffee sitting on the table. I made a mistake. And I was doing this for years. The second time around, I taught in the kollel. All of a sudden, I looked at the coffee. I was like, oh my goodness, I just learned today that this is aser. It took me a while to get through my thick skull that this was aser. I was teaching it, but I never thought about the coffee that was sitting. Now, the coffee was sitting within arm's reach. So therefore, it would be aser for me to do such a thing. Okay, so now, what happens if this time, instead of a Talmud coming to speak with me in the dining room, he comes to my office. And I say, you know what, we're in a rush. The coffee's here, but I don't want us to go and wash out the cup or spill it out. You'll be my shomer. You'll remind me. Now, where do we have halacha and shomer? We have shomer, for example, if I'm afraid I'm going to miss Kriya Shema, so you can make a shomer. The shomer could help for many, many things. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, here there's no mention of Shomer, even though by Hilchos Kriya Shema, if you're eating at a time that you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet, you can make a Shomer. Here a Shomer doesn't work. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, a Shomer is not going to be effective. Now, before we apply this, let me just teach you a few more halachos, and then I'll take your questions. If you take a look at the... at the Pischei Tshuva. You guys only photocopy the Shulchan Aruch? Did you photocopy the other sides as well? No? Okay, that's fine. So I'll read out for you the Pischei Tshuva that he quotes in the name of the Rashal. What happens if you have the following? You have, let's see, it's pretty, I think we could, I don't know, I don't have such long arms. Sroli's arms are a little longer than mine. But, you know, when I was in ninth grade, I played up top, and then by the time it was 12th grade, I was already a guard. In ninth grade, I was still one of the tallest guys in the class, but by the time high school was over, it was very funny because my friend, we weren't great basketball players, we were just okay. Not in the league of Yisrael Feld or anything like that. So to get into Yisrael Feld's league, I had to start teaching him learning. Then I got into his league. But otherwise, before then, there was nothing to talk about. So I had a friend that I was close with. He's the same friend. Same friend that I told you about that's very modern Orthodox. The same friend. So we did a lot of things together. So he was the exact opposite. He started off very short. So he played guard when we were ninth grade, and I played on top. And by the time 12th grade came along, he had shot up, and he was playing down low, and I was playing on top. Anyhow, now back to my short arms. So the halacha would be as follows. If Sruli is sitting and eating over there, and he's eating fleishiks, and I'm eating milchiks, it's mutter. Even if we have no heker. Why? Because I can't reach over to, let's say, where his sefer is, that's where his mat The mat is his food. I can't reach there. Sruli, if he could lean over to me, then he would have a problem. The halacha is that only if it's something that you would reach over to be able to eat. But if it's something that that you wouldn't be able to reach over, then in such a case, there is no problem. So this would be an eitzah. Let's say you and your roommates are eating together, and it's very difficult to put down a heker for whatever reason. As long as you're sitting far away from each other, in such an instance, then that would be permissible. So this is another exception. That's what the Pischei Tshuva quotes in Sifkat and Gimel in the name of the Marashal. We had a machlokis in our kola between Rav Miller Shlita and others about what would it be if you had someone who was eating by himself and the coffee wasn't within arm's reach. So let's say I would just move the coffee just a little bit over. It's still close by. I didn't pour it out. So it's on the same table, but it's not within arm's reach. So Rav Miller says, look, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that even a shomer doesn't work. So certainly, even if it's far away, while I saw that other Gedolei Poskim disagree and are makel. So there are two different opinions as far as that goes. Justin, what did you want to ask?
It was going to be like on the topic of Shomer. It's like also similar.
Yeah,
to
we're
like
still on the topic of Shomer. Go ahead.
Halakas Neros Davin Marav.
Yes.
I had a Shiloh. I went to the Kotel the last night of mm-hmm. last night. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to meet a friend for dinner nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a few different answers. Like one was that no, like I think it was like Rabbi Rich said he was makbid not to eat at all until he lights. Mm. But then other rabbeim told me that like as long as like you have like set a reminder on your phone, like that serves like a shomer for mm. that.
Right.
What would Rabbi say in that case?
And I got
Davin Marav.
Rabbi Rich already took care of you. He I remember he asked me a shaila about boys who were whatever Rabbi Rich did, he's Esher Lismoch Alav. Rav Miller presented this shaila of the long table in the following way. He presented, what is the heter of the long table? Is the heter of the long table that serves as a heker? So if a shomer doesn't work, certainly a heker doesn't work for one person. That means, before Rav Miller's chiddush, let me just add one more halacha. What would the halacha be if you have a person who's sitting alone with his coffee, but he puts down a heker? So we have a phone sitting over here. So I put down, let's say I normally don't put my phone over here. I normally charge my phone over there. So I put my phone over here, and then the coffee's over here, and I'm eating over here. So what do you say, Rabbi Osai? Good or no good? It's not Mefurish. I'm not trying to catch you on something we already learned. We didn't learn anything about that. What did we learn so far?
That's not a good hack. I mean, is that a good hacker?
Yes, we discussed that according to many shitas it would. So it goes like this. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Pashtus says that definitely wouldn't work. Why? And by the way, the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch was also that way. Because what did Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch said, Asur la'alos, when you're eating, Asur la'alos. You're not allowed to have on your table, like I had. The milk, the coffee, Asur. It's Beferish Halacha, it's Asur. Then we learned, but if you have two people, then you can have a heker. Mashma, that a heker won't work, and even a shomer wouldn't work. And that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying. Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying, the mashmos is that nothing works. And when Rabbi Kiva Eger says a shomer won't work, certainly a heker is not going to work. Shkoyach for the border. Baruch ato adoignoi, Eloiheinu melech ha'ilam, shahakol niyeh bedvarai.
Amen. Right.
So that's what emerges over here from the Mechaber. So we mentioned, what about a long table? So Rav Miller wanted to say like this. What's the heter of a long table? You ready for Lomdus Rabosai? Lomdus from the Rosh Kollel, you ready? What's the heter of a long table? Is the heter of the long table that's called a heker? And therefore, we said that heker, when you're alone, doesn't work. Or is the svara of the long table, what's the lamdus of the long table? It's considered as if it's not shulchan echad. So then, it might be mutter, even if you're by yourself. So whether I'm allowed to take my coffee and put it on the other end of the table that I can't reach would be totally in that. If you say the lamdus of the heter of the long table is that the long table is considered a heker. So heker doesn't work by when you're by yourself. It only works between two people. But if you say the heter of the long table is what? Is based on that's not considered shulchan. It's like, what is my shulchan? So the truth is, my desk in my office is very large. But al pi halacha, this would be the shulchan for eating. Just here. This whole desk in the classroom, the third on this side, the third on that side is not considered. So therefore, the halacha would be that it's mutter. So that would be totally in that shayla. Okay.
What do we say about l'maisa?
How do we pass on l'maisa? I think I'd be nota to the tzad that it's considered not the same thing, and therefore the kula. Yeah. Good. Okay, let's continue on. Let's continue with the end of the Rambam. Yes?
A lot of times they have like tables where you can take them apart and put a thing in the middle to make it longer.
Right.
So it's not really, you're putting it together.
A leaf into the table, yeah.
So that would sort of be, if it was on like the leaf part while you're on one side, you can't reach it. And sort of
be the same thing, yeah. It would be the same thing. If the when you're able to reach it, it would be one way, and when you're not able to reach it, it would be another way. That would be the halacha. All right, let's wrap up Rabosai with the following last few words in the Ramah in Siman Peches. The Ramah says, "V'chein noagin liyached kli shel melach." Our custom is to designate a utensil for salt. Kol echad efnei atzmo. Each one for milchix, one for fleishix. Kili pa'amin tovlim b'melach v'nisharu shiurei machol b'melach. Because there are times that people leave over and the leftovers, the fleishix, inside of the salt. And we're afraid. You dip in your chicken, and then you're going to dip in your cheese. So Rav Nevin Sal Shlita pointed out to me that this halacha of the Ramah is talking about a different salt shaker than we have today. Some of you might see this salt contraption that the Ramah is talking about. By particularly Hasidim use this on Shabbos, that it's what I would call a salt dipper, not a salt shaker. And that is that the salt, there's some who are makbid to dip the salt in three times. So to do that, you're dipping it into a receptacle that's holding salt. So once upon a time, that was the way salt was used. They had receptacles of salt. So therefore, that you can't use one for milchix and one for fleishix. Why? We're afraid that if you're going to dip in your meat, there's going to be leftover meat inside the salt, and then you dip in the cheese, so then the two are going to mix with each other. However, Rav Nevinzel told me that he thinks that salt shakers today doesn't have that problem. Salt shakers today are going to be fine. Why? Because the salt shakers are just used to sprinkle on top, but they don't come in contact with the food itself. Now, there are people who are machmir, who have little kids, that they say the kids aren't careful, and they mamish put the salt shaker, when they're a little bit in a rush, they'll put the salt shaker into the pizza or into the meatballs. So then you have a problem that if the top of the, if you put the kid put it into hot meatballs and then put it into hot cheese, so then the top of the salt shaker could become treif. So with small kids, there might be room to be machmer. Other people are machmer for a reason that I don't think is necessary. That chashash I hear. Other people are machmer because of the fact that there is hot steam that's sometimes coming up. So first of all, most of the time that people use the salt shakers, the steam doesn't get that hot. We're going to learn in the end of Hilchos Basar B'Chalav that in order for the steam to make a problem on that which is above, to send the tama, the meatballs, into the thing that's above it, is that it needs to get so hot that the salt shaker, or that whatever it is above, becomes yatzalet dispels. And it doesn't seem to me that even if it's very hot, if you're not doing it for an extended period of time, and you're not putting it very low down over the hot item, they'll reach yatzalet dispels. So I don't think, even though that chshash is mentioned by some halach lemaisa books, Lamia's daiti, one could be mekel on that concern, unless you do a study and you say that, see that I'm wrong, and being wrong and being pointed out that you're wrong is always a very, very good thing. But until you do that, I would say that from my great Rebbe, this halacha doesn't apply to salt shakers, unless in the case of where you have instances where you're choshesh that people are going to put inside. Sometimes when you're talking about a utensil that's being used extremely often, so let's say, you know, in a cafeteria that has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people using it, so then I would say a cafeteria should have two different ones. Because there's a cafeteria that has mustard, and they're using the mustard pumps. So let's say you have hundreds of people that are using the mustard pumps, and they, let's say for hot dogs, so then it is possible that a few times out of those hundreds, the guys are getting banging the hot dog against the thing. So maybe in such a places it might be recommended to be machmer. Even there, if you clean it off, meikra d'dina, it's mutter. I would recommend that if you're running a kitchen, that l'chol hapachos you clean off in between milchiks and fleishiks, and possibly it might be recommended to be machmer. Even there, it would probably be a hiddur and not a pure chiyuv al pi halacha. Yes.
What about in the kitchen? They also have a bag of salt that people put their hands in. Right. Is that also a chosh? People have stuff on
that's them. A nice question, because we are choshish that a person's going to have leftovers. Where I come from, you're not supposed to put your hands in. That's how we pass in the shayla.
I read something in the 39 Malachos book that